This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Is another edition of the IOS podcast sponsored by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time. Philadelphia, celebrate responsibly. Jack's wearing a red October sweatshirt. I don't even know what else we can talk about other than just going right there. Why? Were you Vic Fangio over here?
I don't know what the big deal is. I miss him, obviously.
What year is it? Hold on.
Yeah, it's this year's ones.
You're wearing this.
Yes, yes.
Didn't even have Red October this year.
First off,
they should discontinue those and not allow people to wear them.
So here's my defense. Okay,
I can't believe you're wearing that.
It has the right early sweater feel before you wash it for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Which is about as elite as a sweatshirt.
It's a great feeling.
After you wash a sweatshirt for the first time, I might as well throw it out. Like, I hate it.
It's a bit of a take there.
I hate it. There's less of the stuff inside, so it's not as comfy. Mm-hmm. It's not as soft. Mm-hmm. You might as well throw out sweatshirts after the first time you wash them. That's a big take to start the podcast. But I feel no
Mr. Moneybags over here just throws out sweatshirts and wears them. Yeah, no big deal.
Well, I was tweeting about Zillow yesterday.
I saw this. What did you just? Oh,
well, people act like this. All right,
big time Fritz.
It's
over
not
here.
That. It's
remind of our big time house for people, lots of money.
Are people in the housing market right now? That's not that crazy.
I'm not.
Exactly. This is not.
I didn't pay that much for my house.
And by the way,
I paid a significant amount less for my
house.
Well,
it's just, and it's not that much. Yeah. If you're currently going through it, it's just not.
Like over $100,000.
Tucker, it's not that much, right?
Then you're low
That's
end.
That's about what I paid for
Then
my
you're
house.
Low right. end number, okay. But you know, no big deal.
And these people, they were able to buy their houses for like $150,000 in the 80s or 90s. I don't know. It's just, it's an absolute joke. But relatable content is what I do.
Yeah, it's very relatable.
So
trying to find a mansion to move into.
It's not a man, dude. I'm letting you know, it's really not at all. It's I look at Zillow 7 times a day.
I can't do that kind of stuff.
I know.
Well, even if I were looking, I would just let Emily do all that.
Well, when we eventually do, hopefully in the next decade, find our forever home, mm-hmm. I need to make sure I delete Zillow. It is all I look at all the time. It's addicting.
So I never would have guessed this from you. Like, because I just didn't think you were a Zillow kind of guy. You know, like, I've never been on Zillow. Like, I wouldn't even know how to use it. I've never done it.
Tucker, are you on Zillow?
I am.
Is it? People like it.
Emily loves it. She checks stuff out on there all
Before
the time.
Before I moved out of the city, that was like what I would scroll
all the time.
I was going.
I don't know what.
I know
you,
a lot of people. I've never been on it. I have no interest in looking.
You shouldn't.
At, like,
you're not looking to
prices
you're not
of
looking
real estate.
To move.
But even when we were moving, Emily just did it all. Oh, and we ended up moving across the street because we saw a place being built.
It's amazing.
We're like, that looks awesome. Let's go there.
That's amazing. It worked out great. Yeah. So yeah, I feel a little shame.
You should. It was the first thing I brought up. Again, I didn't know what else to say. I couldn't continue the podcast.
You're wearing a fish-related Philly shirt.
Yeah, because fish is awesome. Didn't do anything wrong. Fish kicks ass.
Yeah,
they're still great every time I see them.
It's Philly's related.
Well, I didn't say you couldn't wear Phillies gear. I said
Ever
you can't
again?
Wear 2024 Red October gear. This is specifically
There's
this
no, first
If
off,
this were just a Philadelphia Phillies sweatshirt, I'd be like, sure, that's fine. Postseason 2024 Red October, nope. Throw it in the trash. Especially right now. Wear it in like a year, and then it's like, oh, it's just a Red October shirt. We're still like in pain. The World Series hasn't even started yet, and you're wearing a 2024 Red October shirt.
I don't know what to tell you. I've detailed many times that I talked about it in the top five the other day. I let down a lot of people on an everyday basis with what I say or how I act.
That's true.
And wearing this, it's a comfortable sweatshirt. I sort of miss them. I don't miss them as much as I used to miss them.
Yeah, I'm good on a break right now. Like I'm good.
I'm mostly mad at them.
I mean, yeah.
I'm definitely
mad. I'm annoyed with them
yes.
right now.
I think like, that's a fair way to put it.
I need a little break, and then I'll come back, and I'll be very happy to be back. I can't get a break, though, because we're here right now.
So, well, no. No break. And for as annoyed at them as I am, I'm equal parts incredibly excited for this offseason.
Oh my God.
Incredibly excited.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I was going to save this for later.
Oh God.
But I have a bullpen target.
Oh God, you are so back.
That I cannot wait to let everyone know is maybe priority number one over Juan Soto.
And then the Angels will sign him for some absurd contract. I mean,
that is what happened to my boy.
Robert Stevenson.
Yeah.
You remember who it was. That's why I said him. You were so obsessed with him.
And he got hurt immediately. No. This guy, which this is called a professional tease. Oh. We're not bringing him up today. We're saving this one.
So if it's good in radio, tease is meant for commercials.
Don't care.
You know, don't leave the podcast.
Don't leave the podcast and also listen to next week's episode, which is the perfect off-season podcast that we're doing next week.
Oh, so you're teasing next week. Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
That's fair. Thank you. Okay, you're a pro. You know.
One day at a time. This is a guy, and you have a week to figure out who it is.
Ooh, okay, I'm going to come back with a guess because I like this. This is good.
That 100% will be a Dodger and they'll turn him into a stud. That he will be a Dodger. I want the Phillies assigned to not be a Dodger. You will not guess who it is.
Okay, good, because it's a super deep cut.
Semi-deep cut. If you know me,
somebody's like had arm surgery three times and just came back and somehow is throwing 97 and jacks all in, something along those lines.
It's a name that you will 100% know that is a free agent that you have to look up. That if you know me and know the podcast, when I say it, everyone's like, oh, of course.
I can't wait.
How's that?
It's actually a really good tease.
It's all I've thought about.
Well, it's funny because I feel like there sometimes things that happen on this pod are so unique to this pod and nothing. Like that is something that if you did it on the radio, Spike would like be like, what the hell are you doing?
Sure.
No one cares about your dumb middle reliever. But in this thing, I think actually people will tune into the next pod and be like, Dear Jack Reliever.
No, and the people that are maybe checking out the pod for the first time, like, oh, they're going to talk about Juan Soto. You found the wrong podcast. I'm not saying to go elsewhere. I'm just saying you found the wrong show.
This ain't what you think it is.
This is draft talk and middle reliever talk. And the other name is my Spencer Turnbull replacement, which I'm equally as excited about. So, that's what you're getting when you sign up for this podcast. And speaking of the radio show, because
shout out to Canada, I like this.
Because there's no way that either of them will listen to this.
Just Spike and Ike, are we going
Spike and Ike?
Oh, good. I love this. This is great. There is no way. There's no way Joe or John will listen either. So take shots at them.
I always do. But I'm just letting everyone know that the Eagles won on Sunday. And I spent most of the show on Monday looking up who I was gonna pick for, like, who my bullpen target was gonna be, because I'm just there. Oh, no way they won, crazy. Lot like from 3 to about 5:30 strictly looking at players.
Well, the funny thing is that I think like every host on the station, no one's listening to this, we know that. Maybe Giulio once in a while. I think Giulio tunes in. Shout out to our guy Joe.
I think so.
But the point being that,
and Tucker, don't clip that.
What I was about to say is, I think you might be in trouble because I've noticed that like Spike is the person. He's got like minions or whatever. Like people always tell Spike when stuff's going on. Like if we say something in the morning show, no joke, within 2 minutes, someone's tweeting at Spike and being like, Spike, they said this about you. Like it is. So I actually do think there's a chance Spike hears about this.
Well, they always give me crap because I was watching, obviously, Philly's playoff highlights in the Eagles press box.
We all remember an all-time moment.
It's about on brand with that. It's about on brand with that. You know, good. I was looking at the text line, and I was like, he's available that could possibly help this team. You know, people are getting a little too worked up about the Eagles.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm
just joking. It's Spike's listening.
That's believable. Yeah. Spike probably checked out, but someone told him to check a certain time. He heard it and he checked out.
Joking.
Bye, Spike. What kind of offseason are you expecting from the Phillies in terms of like the Soto thing? He's joking. We will talk Soto.
Yeah.
Now we'll probably talk more middle relievers and whatnot, but we will talk Juan Soto. Like outside of just the in a more macro sense, like, do you expect them to go in and because we, you know, Dave didn't really seem like he was going to. Who knows what he's saying. Do you expect them to, like, are they going to spend a lot of money this off? Is this going to be a big offseason, or is this going to be a fringes off?
I think it's going to be more of a big trade than a big signing.
Ooh.
If I had to place a bet on one or the other.
You think there will be a player on this team next season who obviously was not this year, who will look at and be like, that's a star. That guy's a real meaningful person in Major League Baseball.
I don't know if it's going to be that. If I had to bet, I just don't think it's going to be that. Obviously, like, does Bregman count? Probably.
I think so. I think he's the low end of that. I mean, a few years ago, obviously, yeah. But yeah.
I just think that. I think
they're getting Bregman, huh?
No. I think there's a chance. I just don't know where he goes. I mean,
back to Houston, I think, is probably the most likely.
Well, Mariners make sense. Tigers can make some sense because AJ Hinch is there. Mets are probably out now unless they let Alonso walk.
I move Vientos to first, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would do that.
If they missed out on Soto, they could.
They could.
But yeah, if I had to bet, I think it's more of a shake up the core trade than as add to the core, if I had to guess. And the one thing that I'm starting to get incredibly annoyed by is everyone that talks about Dave Dombrowski, and Ken Rosenthal did this yesterday, and the Fair Territory podcast is good.
I know where you're going with this.
It's just every time I talk about Dave Dombrowski, he's not afraid to make a move. It's like,
you sure about that, buddy?
He's aggressive.
They
he's out
the
there.
Deadline, and they I were know, wrong. They're like, Dave, whatever he sees is these, he's going to go fix it, and he's going to get the, he'll pay whatever. The phrase, he'll pay whatever it takes. Guess what he didn't do? He didn't come close to paying whatever it takes. He was like, no, I will get Austin Hayes instead.
Right.
Like, so enough.
So, and if you want to go back to last offseason and say, well, they could have got Juan Soto. No, if it was only a year, they could have got Juan Soto.
Someone was saying that. So, someone had his perfect offseason a year plus ago. No big deal.
Well, guess what?
Perfect trade deadline.
Juan Soto's going to be on everyone's perfect offseason.
Yeah, I meant perfect deadline. And I think I might put him.
Well, he was available in the offseason.
Yeah, I think I did both.
If you wanted to go that way. So I'm just a little, I need to start seeing that before I believe it with Dave. You know, it's been a little different since he's been the Phillies GM than in, you know, his traditional
every
sense.
Other spot he's been in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but and we said this last time, and I do really believe that that Middleton disagrees with how they handled that or not handled it. But what they said, I think that Middleton's not happy, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. And I think that he wants to make real moves. And I keep going
Let's ask him, John, come on in.
What a tease. He's going to join us for the perfect offseason next week.
Yeah, we promise. Don't worry, he'll be here.
But, you know, I keep going back to, I was reading some press clippings about when the...
Who are you, dude?
When the Phillies traded Bobby Abreu in 2006. What? No big deal.
Who? I just... Go ahead. I'm speechless.
So I was reading about when the Phillies traded Bobby Abreu in 2006.
Press clippings, yeah.
And do they still say press clippings?
I don't know.
I was reading quotes, whatever. And
I was reading some newspaper articles.
Yes. Pat Gillick said after they traded Abreu that we haven't won with this core. We have to change the mix up, essentially. And we know what they did after that. They went on a run in the second half of 06. It carried over into 07 for, you know, besides the beginning of the season. And then obviously they won the World Series in 08. So that I feel like we've reached that point with this core is they've won to an extent, but they've also gone backwards every single year. And you can make the case that we've seen the best of this core, that we've seen their peak. And Dave Dombrowski has been around for too long, just like Pat Gillick was, to realize that and not make a move. So I just keep going back to what he said was annoying. We all thought it was annoying and didn't exactly hit on what the city was feeling. But I just refuse to believe that they're not going to make some kind of significant move this year. I think it's more detracting from this core rather than we're going to go pay $600 million for Juan Soto. We're going to go sign Alex Bregman. You know, maybe they get in more of the starters markets and spend more money. I think it could be the first time we see this core shaken up.
Yeah, look, and I think a lot of people feel that they need to. Look, they brought the entire coaching staff back, like it or hate it, whatever. Thank God. They're not shaking it up at all there. Uh-huh. So, like, you just can't keep bringing the group back and do the same thing. They have to do something. There have to be.
Well, especially.
And it can't just be like, we're replacing Rojas. Like, that's not good enough.
Especially if you're gonna bring back Rob, if you're gonna bring back Tom.
That's my point. I'm saying if you're bringing back the whole coaching staff, you have to do something to change the chemistry.
Yeah, and it's gonna I mean, it could shock us. I mean, it's going to be weird if one of our guys that we've kind of grown to like over the last couple of years is out of here. But it's the reality of the situation. I mean, Alec Bohm's a year or two away from being paid.
It's 1 year after. I think he's got one more full season. And then I could be wrong.
I think it's this year and then one more.
Is it?
Yeah. Either way, he's heading towards a payday. Yeah.
One way or the other, you have to decide.
You have to decide. And
if it is 2 years, this is going to be, I mean, basically not just this. Every day that goes by, the value gets less and less for the team that's trading for him.
Sure. So, yeah, I saw the Gillick quote this week, and I was like, that's where this team is at. I mean, that's where they've won, but not to, they weren't where the 05 and 06 Phillies
were. No, they were better, obviously.
Much better. That's obvious. But, like, this core might have already reached its peak. Now, the issue for that is, okay.
It's hard.
You're not trading JT. Yeah. I don't think you should trade Schwarber. Castellanos, I actually think, has more value as a Philly than he does
around the league. I just don't think I don't think you're getting enough back to make it worthwhile. You're not trading Harper. No one's taking Turner. Like,
shock the world and add something to the Trey Turner contract to get out from under it. I don't think that's going to happen.
I honestly, I was going to say 0%. I'll say 1%. Like, there's almost no
chance. Well, as you said last podcast, Turner and Bohm for Trout. Now the big money acquisition could.
I can't believe you brought Rendon back. I know. I miss that guy. What a hitter!
I know.
What a hitter. He's the best. I know.
But now the big trade or whatever or detraction from the core could be going and trading for Mike Trout. I mean, I know. Listen, I don't really.
I'm so out on it.
I know.
Like I've never been more out on the Trout. All right. What, bring a guy in here who's not going to play? He didn't play last year.
No.
Remember, it's like it happened in preseason or a spring training, and it's like, 6 weeks, the guy didn't play.
I know. So, and this is not me doing fishing for trout fishing, which was a great bit.
It was a phenomenal.
We can all come together and agree that it was a good bit, just like Taiwanimus. Now,
Great bits. Trout fishing was a great bit.
And I'm
Taiwanimus was a mistake.
I'm not saying to trade for Mike Trout, but I can feel it in my bones. I can just feel it. They miss out on Soto. Mm-hmm. They don't want to sign Bregman. They can't trade any of their pieces. And it's just
really depressing.
And bleep it. Go get Mike Trout. Because ultimately, the Phillies are a business. And Mike Trout will still
get certain people excited.
And it will, yes, certain
but
people.
I don't know if it's enough. I think Phillies fans are smart. And I think that over the last 3 years, really the last, since Harper got here, there has been a reinvestment. As we've seen, obviously it's increased, but a reinvestment of the Phillies fan base into the team, into following it every day and all that. And I think, honestly, at this point, most Phillies fans would be like, that guy's never healthy. Like, I think that people are invested in paying attention. I don't think the name will do it.
All right. You know that if they trade for Mike Trout, it's like, well, he's home now. And they're going to put him in left field, and he's with the boys, and it's Eagle season, and the golf course he's doing with Tiger is almost done. Come on.
What a shame.
Come on.
They couldn't bring him home sooner.
It would be such a bummer. Like, we finally get Mike
That's
Trout.
That's my point. It's like, what a shame. It feels what a missed opportunity to get him sooner.
I mean, the reality is, and we just talked about it, where's the move?
And that's where I'm concerned. Like, where's the move? What's the move?
Like, if they could do it, an upgrade in left field would be big. Like, getting a real
massive. That's why Soto. I mean, again, I agree with you.
Right.
I do not think I think they'll be in. I think they'll be, talk to him and they'll do the whole thing. I don't see them paying 500, six, whatever.
Well, starting at five. I think it's gonna
whatever like the number is. I don't think it gets quite that high, but I think it'll be between five and six, maybe six. It could be six for sure. He's 26 years old. I think he will get between $500 million and $600 million.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Phillies will pay that. Not that they won't pay. I just don't think he's going to end up here. But I think that's like, it makes so much sense because it's the perfect thing. Like, put that guy in left field and we're set and it all works out.
I know. Well, the Phillies, they have to be in. I mean, they can't just sit it out. And do I expect them to get them? No. But this is a three-horse race between the Mets, Phillies, Yankees. That's what it needed to be. It needs to be those are the three finalists. And if you missed out on them because he doesn't want to leave New York, But the big thing that he has to think about, and this is speaking directly to John Middleton, is he got to think about the 2028 Phillies.
Oh, so we've jumped.
There's a reason why we've jumped. is because the only people on the books in 2028 are Harper, Nola, and Turner.
That's it. Really?
Sanchez, technically, but Sanchez isn't making
that doesn't count. A lot it's of nothing. Sanchez, a lot of what a deal.
Now they haven't.
We finally got a Braves contract. It's so exciting.
Now they haven't paid Bohm or Stott, and we'll see if they pay those guys. But as it currently stands, that's the only money on the books in 2028. So just think about that.
I like that.
Just think about
that's a good way to put it.
You're gonna have to bite the bullet for 2025, 2026, and 2027. Even though some of them money is coming off the books, if you don't want to pay Schwarber,
like Cassio come off, Schwarber will come off.
Yeah, come on. We're on to Aiden's coming. Painter will be here.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Norrie.
How are you getting
Griffin Burkholder?
Look at you, Joe Crawford.
Justin Crawford.
I got Crawford.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm just saying, think about the 2028 Phillies when you're thinking about the current Juan Soto contract.
Okay. I like this.
Thank you.
John, I think that was a listen.
A passionate play. Yeah, a passionate play.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to your notes that you gave me, the Jack nice little rundown for today. What's your Phillies related?
Hey, Jack.
In the postseason.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it was great. I was like, what are we going to talk about today? And you were bang, man. Yeah.
Well, listen.
It was great.
Up for a little bit.
I appreciated it.
Yeah. So the one big takeaway is I don't like Jesse Winker, obviously, but they need someone like that.
They need to get it going.
Yeah.
He does, man. He gets it going.
Oh, he's like, infuriating.
I know, but
he's infuriating.
If he were hitting those homers and watching him on our team, he'd be like, Jesse freaking Winker, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they got to find some way.
Jock. What a good way to put it.
Well, no, I'm talking about Jock Peterson.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. He's like a Jock Peterson.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. Swag, attitude, thinks he's way better than he actually is, but he gets some big hits for you. I'm with you.
They need like that kind of guy.
An irrational confidence guy.
Jock Peterson's a free agent.
Ooh.
I believe so. I was reading Jim Bowden today. It's again, I was reading press clippings from 05. They were almost down to some Astros GM who I've never heard of that was like apparently a fast riser in 05. Jim Bowden and Pat Gillick.
Wow.
So
what a sliding doors that is.
Gee, which one? Which is the right decision to make there? Well, even though, woo! I mean,
one's Hall of Famer, the others ain't.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Bowden is whatever. But I think Jock Peterson
is not a great general manager. He's very good at media.
Sure.
But yeah.
But yeah, so they need someone like that that has a little bit of edge. This team is. They like each other a lot, which is good, but there needs to be some kind of
consternation. And look, they're certainly not getting it from their manager. No. I love the guy. He is certainly not coming. That's my favorite thing. Is like, oh, you don't know. Topper really get on these guys behind the scenes. Come on, man. Like, don't give me that. Like, there is no way. Like, I'm sure he might get on them a little bit for Topper, but like, Rob Thompson is not dressing these guys down. Like, Rob Thompson is not going in the locker room and being like, you MF-er. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just not happening. Like, I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
No.
I refuse to believe that.
No. And I'd be curious to see what Charlie was like, you know, behind the scenes. I mean,
I think Charlie had a little more edge.
He did. He definitely did. He definitely
Canadian. Did. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right.
It
is what it is.
It is what it is.
Now they play hockey. So they're tough.
You know what's going to be really fun is when they don't sign Juan Soto and Kevin Long still here. You'll be like, oh, good.
Well, yeah, but it feels like they're setting that up for the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, 2 months into the season, you're not hitting. Yeah. What did you make of the whole, like, he's the best? You talked to any. He's on every list.
A little much. All of it's a little much.
Can I ask you a question? You're a baseballman.
People say that.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
No, but you do. Seriously, you're on a lot of teams. You played D1,
D2. Recruited D1, didn't have the
no grades. Big deal.
Yeah,
like we always say, like, what does hitting coach do? But like, how much of like how important?
Nah, I mean, listen, you, right? But I think the biggest thing that the hitting coaches are there for is game planning stuff. I think game planning they're important for, and it feels like they've been gone into games with no plan for a while. But again, my question with Kevin Long is that he is a guy that says hunt the fastball, and baseball's just changed from that philosophy.
It's a spin game,
and you know, is he falling behind the times? Is he, you know, an older hitting coach that is still teaching older principles for a game that's moving in a different direction? And what I can't tell with hitting, and it's funny because hitting down around the game is pretty down, but like it has it. I don't think it's caught up to pitching, but there's been so much like pitching advancement when it comes to getting on the cameras and seeing, you know, how you can change your arm angle or change how you touch the baseball to make it move in a different way.
Or to make it harder for a pitcher to hitter to see or to
Mania. Yeah. You know, so that's happened with pitching, which is totally taken off pitching. And you've seen these guys who have gone from no names to studs, I think more often now than in years past. Around the game, is hitting starting to do that? And are we behind the times with where the hitting advancements are going? But I don't think it is.
That's my point. I don't really ever hear about hitting advancements the same. Like with pitching, it's just like,
I know,
Rush Soto camera and this. Now there's just so many things that have come along that have been like the spin rate, the emphasis on spin rate, the way pitching, the tunneling, like all these, there's a million things with pitching that we've had these.
Meanwhile, the hitting's just
launch angle. It's still freaking talking about launch angle. Like, I know. So where is that? Where is that development?
But what I think that other teams do better than the Phillies, and you know, I think it's the Diamondbacks that did it. I always felt like the Giants had a good plan.
Oh, we're just going to hit to all fields. That's the plan.
Well, yeah.
We're just going to get guys to just still hit to the other field.
That'll work. But I think with these other teams, they go up there with a certain approach. Like, and that's...
it's a dirty word here in Philly.
But it is. It's like the Giants, and they weren't a great offense, but I feel like they went up there with all the same idea.
They got the most out of their guys, it felt like.
The Braves, who fired their hitting coach, which was a little surprising. Again, that's what I said, we let it go of K-Long.
That's what I mean. We don't fire anyone. We're like, let's bring them all back.
No, I know. And that does make me worried about the offseason.
Yeah. Where it's like, of course it does. Fine. We're fine. I know. That's why the press conference was so infuriating. It's like you want to believe that Dave Dombrowski is just saying things to let other teams not know where he's at or this or that or whatever. But if what he's saying is true, which in the past it always has been for the most part, like trade deadline, you'll play a little smoke and mirrors and stuff, but like, that's bad. Like if the mentality, and I hope to your point that John Middleton is like, I am not down with what was said in that press conference, because every single Phillies fan was not down with what they said in that press conference.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I don't know. The problem with Kevin Long too, is that like if you want to say stars are going to be them, right? And
the baseball guard.
Yeah, like you just roll them out there every day and they'll figure it out. They're big leaguers and treat them like big leaguers, which is fine. But then the young players got to be better. And looking at the season Stott
development,
had,
yeah.
Looking at the season that Boehm had, while at the beginning was great.
It was great, but he fell off, man.
Completely fell off.
Dude, he didn't even end up leading the NL in doubles. Like he was out from front by like 10 doubles at one point, like deep into the season.
Yeah. And Marsh, who is still super inconsistent, and looks more like a platoon player than an everyday player.
I would say is a platoon player.
Sure. I just, when the young guys aren't exactly developing, Rojas, if you want to say for Rojas, took some strides. Like
sure. And also, Chase, I don't think, stuff. Like they never, I mean, I've Johan Rojas is actually one of the very first names that we talked about in this pod as far as like the early on when we got excited about prospects and they didn't have any and whatever. And he's been here for so long and all that. But like, I don't ever remember in the entire time we talked about Johan Rojas, you thinking you could hit at the major league level. Like, you were pretty confident, like, we'll see.
We'll see.
Like, but they made it out like he's this massive prospect. He's not really, is
no. I, yeah, the way they've messaged about Rojas is very strange.
Strange. Yeah. Like, he was a bigger, it felt like he was like a higher ranked prospect in their eyes than he ever was by anyone else across the board.
Yeah. So I think it comes down to more organizational philosophy to hitting, you know what I mean? The Rays, I feel like they don't get the biggest prospects, and the Rays are like, I feel like it's so 2018 to say, oh, look at the Rays, you know what I mean? We are to an extent, but I feel like they always bring up random guys that have a better plan on the plate, and then you look at the Brewers, right?
So the Rays will like lean into stuff. They'll be like, all right, you know, we are just gonna get guys who walk and hit home runs, and that'll be enough for us, and we're gonna get by with it. You know what I mean? Like there is a philosophy.
And I feel like there's no real philosophy here besides get star players. And, you know, I look at a team like the Brewers, right? And
same philosophy, like that same idea.
They got Adames.
Guys who walk and hit home runs.
They got Adames who started launching. They got William Contreras who kind of broke out for them. You know, they've Frelick had a pretty good year. Garrett Mitchell coming back. Like, I think there's a philosophy here with the Phillies hitting wise that feels behind the times.
Feels outdated. Yeah, it does. No, it's a great point. All right. So here, I'll give you a takeaway a Phillies takeaway from the playoffs, but I don't know if I believe it or not. I think there's logic in it, but I also...
You don't want it in the take vault?
Yeah, I know. Definitely not going in the... My take vault record is sterling, by the way. Shout out to our guy. Michael Sulfur gave me a beer at the game for my Chicago White Sox take.
Yeah,
Michael, we found hero. One. Thank you. That was awesome. That really did make my day. Here's what I'll give you. And I've seen a lot of people talk about this. The camera mentioned this on the air. The concept of, and to be fair, one of them got Juan Soto this offseason. One of them signed the biggest, best player in the history of our lifetime. But the thing the camera said, and I've seen other people say this online, and I get it. I understand where they're coming from. I just can't wrap myself around it. But the idea of that the Yankees and the Dodgers being in the playoffs is actually a sign to Phillies fans, hey, just keep doing what you're doing and you'll break through. Because the Dodgers, you know, 2020 doesn't count. Champ. They've been to the playoffs, what, 12 years in a row. They made the World Series the one time. You know, or didn't make it one time. They made it in 2018. They lost them. But you know what I mean. Lost to Houston. But they've not won the World Series other than 2020. The Yankees obviously have made the playoffs a bunch of years in a row. Haven't broken through. It's like, just keep getting there. Keep getting chances and you'll break through. And I get the logic of it. And it does. I get it. I just
want to go to the NBA, the Nuggets.
Of course. You can see it. And I think there is some logic and some truth to that. But it also just doesn't. I can't wrap myself around it with this Phillies team because of the way they've lost and the seeing the same thing happen over and over.
Well, but at the same time, they're mostly going to run it back with the same-ish players.
Oh,
we're talking about maybe
subtracting
one or two. So the core is going to be here. It's going to be JT. It's going to be Bryce. It's going to be Turner. It's going to be Cassidy. It's going to be Schwarber. I mean, those guys aren't changing. Wheeler and Nola aren't changing. It's more, can they do anything with the quote-unquote daycare of the world? And again, maybe one of the bigger names. I'd be more surprised than not. So, yeah, I think that's fair. But at the same time, and I keep going back to the deadline. Just go get better baseball players. If you have a pretty good player that can stand there and do a job, why can't you go upgrade that spot? Like Tommy Edman.
You mean NLCS MVP Tommy Edman?
They didn't trade much for him.
They traded nothing. Michael Kopech has mattered for them. That was someone you talked about at the deadline ad nauseum. You're like, go get me Michael Kopech. He's made a difference for them. They made a bunch of small trades at the deadline and brought in.
Jazz was a bigger trade.
Jazz was the Yankees. I'm just talking Dodgers, but you're right. The Yankees got Jazz, but the Dodgers really.
Flaherty
was a big
trade. It's a real trade.
That's a fair trade. You're right. And guess what he's doing? He's starting game one of the freaking World Series for them. But again, all these trades, as we've talked about many times, not one top 100 prospect given up, like their play and lists are arbitrary and all that. But like, it wasn't that expensive. Like, I know we felt it was probably more expensive than the players were worth. Like, yeah, you probably had to give up a little more for Jazz Chisholm than he was probably quote unquote worth. But in the grand scheme of things, you're not treating Andrew Painter for Jazz Chisholm. You're not treating Aiden Miller. You're not treating your top guys. Like,
well, and what
it's a massive missed opportunity. And both these teams are in the World Series partially because of the trades they made.
Sure. Well, what frustrates me about something like Edman, for example, is, dude, we went into the postseason, and listen, we like these guys, and it's not personal, but you're heading into a playoff series with Weston Wilson and Cody Clemens and those kind of guys at the bottom of the roster, where a team like the Dodgers has a Tommy Edman or, you know, Kike. Now, Chris Taylor stinks, but
he's like a mascot.
It's unbelievable.
He's like a mascot for them. They can't have a team without Chris Taylor.
Dude, he's starting the other day. I said, he's still on that
team. It's unbelievable.
It's unreal. But
Kike's had some moments. Kike can,
Kike
has some moments.
I mean, Kike's an October legend.
Big hits.
They tried to sign him last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Jackie Source is over here.
But
breaking news on the podcast.
They tried to get Kike last year and whatever.
It's going to be a big story throughout baseball.
Oh, huge. Huge. But yeah, I just, man, they like getting an Edman and just upgrading that. That's what, if you weren't going to get a star, you weren't going to get something at the deadline, like invest more in the bullpen. They were half in, I felt like, on the bullpen and make the bench that much better. And if Edman comes in, it's great. Guess what? Austin Hayes, there's no track record for Austin Hayes to be good. Tommy Edman, there's a little bit more of a track record. And
yeah, Tommy Edman, I've owned him in fantasy. He's had some good years.
Not to make this all like, oh my God, Tommy Edman's the GOAT, but at least he put the freaking bat on the baseball.
Yeah.
Like that's Bryson Stott's really important for next year's team because I think they need someone that can put the bat on the baseball at a consistent rate. He did not do that last year. But it's interesting to see some of these four hitters throughout the game. Like Tommy Edman was betting cleanup for them because I think the way they view it, and four and five are about the
same. Yeah, and they also, when they have Freeman in there, have three Hall of Famers betting one, two, three. Yeah. Sure.
So, but even like the five spot becomes important because you have guys on base and you want a guy that's going to put the bat on the baseball. So, yeah, I need a guy with some edge. I need a guy that's going to put the bat on the baseball. And like it will be detailed eventually in the perfect offseason. I need my Luke Weaver.
Bring Gene Segura back, baby. It's time.
I do believe I have found the next Luke Weaver.
Oh, okay.
Luke Weaver is awesome.
He's out of nowhere, too. Dude, I was like, who the hell's Luke Weaver? What?
Weaver's back.
I can't believe it. I know. Yeah.
He's a 2017 fantasy darling.
Unbelievable. I want to talk World Series at the end. I want to get to the take bag in a sec. One last thing before we get to the take bag. Ken Rosenthal basically implying if you pay Soto the most, he's going to go there is kind of what Rosenthal said. Would you make of those? Would you make of that? And also, do you think there's any chance that it, look, maybe he doesn't go the highest bidder. Maybe when it gets to five and 600 million, he's like, I'm going to pick the place I want to be. And if someone has 50 million more, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there is any chance that if Juan Soto says and lets everyone know, hey, whoever pays me the most money, I'm going there. Is there any chance the Phillies will pay him the most money?
I don't think so.
Like up at the Yankees, up at the Mets, Cohen.
Again, I'd be floored.
I would too.
Obviously,
and I don't think it's Middleton's fault. Like, I don't blame Tom Middleton. Like, again, you handed out a ton of money. It's just hard to go there.
Well, the reality is, the Trey contract's there. I mean, if they didn't sign Trey, which it's hard to play hindsight.
Dude, we loved it when it happened. Sure. I'm not going to go. I thought it was a great move. It was that offseason. Like, again, it's all about context and market. Like, I mean, Xander Bogaerts got $280 million. Like, all those guys got paid that offseason. Yeah.
So, and it's
funny because Dansby Swanson's probably been the best of those guys.
Well, dude.
He got paid the least.
I think, all right. I know we're mad at
Trey's been better, dude. I guess. He's in season. But Dansby's a elite defensive shortstop. Yeah. Too. Not elite, but a very good defensive
fell off
shortstop.
Offensively. He did. I think the defense is frustrating with Trey. I think we've gone a little overboard with Trey. And I do, like, Lindor was, for me, a disappointment the first couple of years up in New York. And then he's amazing.
So. I love Lindor though.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, I would be shocked if
me too.
If they, and believe me, if they sign Juan Soto, we're doing this podcast with our shirts off.
Wherever, dude. You could wake me up at 2 a.m. to do. I will stay up late. I don't care. I won't sleep. Like, we're ready. And stop making bold proclamations.
What?
You love to talk about doing shows naked and your
shirts off.
You did that on the afternoon show, didn't you? Make the guarantee. You're like, I'll do a show naked. You didn't end up having to. What is up with that? Is it that big a deal to take our shirts off?
Like, it's always just making sure that everyone knows we're serious.
Okay, good.
That's what it's all about.
There are other ways you could do that.
I don't know. Well,
okay. Good.
Yeah, I say.
Good.
We're down like 12 pounds here, buddy.
Yeah, we are.
I'm ready to show the world.
Oh, that's what it is. No,
not already.
You look good.
Not ready to show the world. Yeah.
When they sign one soda, you'll be ready. All right, what do you got in the take back?
Got a lot in the take back.
Oh, God. How's that possible? We've already talked about so much.
I know.
This is already like 10 minutes longer than I expected it to.
Do you know tomorrow's the anniversary of Game 7?
Of last year?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? You come in wearing a red October 2019 shirt, and then you're reminding us about last. Like, why?
I know.
Why?
Because I'm a glutton.
No, but okay. There's this thing. You don't want to like antagonize your listeners.
Would never. Only about the Eagles.
Okay.
Well, it's just, you know.
I didn't know. I'm happy to not know.
Right.
I wish I could forget that I found out. Now, tomorrow at some point, I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to think about that dumbass game. And that, which, by the way, like, as much as 2022, they got the closest, like, last year was the year. Like, the only bad team they lost to this whole thing is the Diamondbacks. Like, the Mets are a good team. Like, the Astros were a great team. Like, the Diamondbacks were a bad baseball team. They scored less runs than they gave up. Like,
yeah. Game 7 anniversary tomorrow.
Thank you.
Do you want to go even lower?
No. I just said don't antagonize the listeners.
I had another dark thought. So I had another dark thought about the Phillies. Because we're doing well. We're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. And this has been a fear of mine ever since he hit it. Yesterday, obviously, was the anniversary of Bedlam at the Bank, which is a great memory.
Is that the
was that
the
it?
Best moment of his career?
Was that
why
it?
Do you have to do this stuff? What is your problem?
Like, because I thought, because all I can do is write down what I was thinking about.
You're just bringing us down with you.
Yeah.
messed up.
No, I know.
I would never do that to our listeners. I just want our listeners.
I'm not antagonizing.
We'd never.
I'm just telling you what was in the head. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was my fear.
You don't want to go in that head.
Watching the
head. How many times do I need to say, don't go in the mind of Jack Fritz? And then I'll go there, but I prefer not.
Can I give you an example of dumb Jack?
We haven't had any of those yet.
Nope.
Okay, good.
I was thinking about, again, the 22 World Series and a dumb Jack moment. I remember thinking to myself, when they were up 2-1, I remember saying to myself, feels too easy.
Did you really?
And said to myself, I said to myself, I remember, and I said, Jack, this is the dumbest thing you've ever thought.
Oh.
Said, they're winning the World Series too quickly.
That is dumb. You're right.
Very dumb.
That's dumb.
Looking back.
I get where you're coming from. It's like, this isn't the year. This is to get excited about
exactly.
It. Then we build and we're ready for it. I didn't have that exact thought, but I did think that like during it, like, am I ready for them to win the World Series?
Was the city ready?
I was. It turned out.
Sure.
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 Would have done it.
Hindsight being 2020.
But I get that point. I did have that thought like already. Is this really going
to
happen?
We're supposed to be building. Yeah. This is supposed to be another kind of build year. We're just going to win the World Series with no, like...
Turns out we didn't, Jack.
Turns out we didn't. Nope. Turns out we didn't.
Nope.
Would like to do that.
That'd be fun.
Would be a good time.
It'd be really disappointing if we don't.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And I guess the...
What a fun pod this is. We started out actually pretty bad.
Well, the final thing, the one comment from Dave that I don't think is being talked about enough that I think is interesting is he just slipped in there like, yeah, the player for player trade, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
In a whole press conference where he downplayed any idea of making a move and talked about there was actually sixth and Chase trade and Chase less than the Mets, God. And felt like a big...
That was his worst moment here in Philadelphia.
Well, it just reminded me so much of...
Of McPhail. It was like, if we don't, we don't almost.
No. Well, this was different. It was when they said... Well, we actually had the fourth.
That's what I meant. That's what I was thinking of. It was that when we had the fourth best bullpen in the area. I knew it was McPhail. I was trying to think of that. Like, I was like, are you kidding me?
What a press conference. They used to be so bad at him, but whatever.
Or was that Middleton?
It was Middleton.
Yeah, never mind. Well, John, we forget.
Because he was asked.
Yes.
He was asked about.
I remember.
It was funny. The question was, the only player to make the big league roster on the minor leagues this year was Cole Irvin or something. Like, how do you feel like the cupboard's bare? And the answer was, well, actually, with the fourth lowest second. It's like, that's not what the question was about the minor league talent, but it's okay.
I get it. When you're in that side, you just, you know.
Yeah, we bounce back.
Divert.
We bounce back.
Yeah.
But the him slipping in there, a player for player trade, I thought was fascinating. And it reminded me of the deadline. Now, hopefully, it's not for Austin Hayes, but.
Oh, my God.
But that did definitely. Park the ears up and maybe bone for Devin Williams.
It's one of those trades that's been mentioned so many times.
That you feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. World Series. Yeah. Where you at? How you feel like in the gut?
As a baseball fan, I'm thrilled.
I'm thrilled. It's so great for the sport. Like, you've got the best player we've ever seen, the most, you know, biggest player in a long time versus the Yankees and Judge and the whole thing. It's great for baseball.
It's great for baseball. My hope is that Ohtani pitches in game 7 and then hits a walk-off home run.
Oh, my God, yes.
How awesome that would be.
I'm
going
so hard for the Dodgers.
Really? I'm fine either way.
You've always been
I'm a Yankees man.
I know. I am a Yankees hater to like the core of my soul.
It's very old of you.
Yeah, it is. I'm old school. I also remember 96 to 2000 and them just owning the world. Yeah. Like, it's enough already. And also, like, the Dodgers.
I like the Dodgers.
The Dodgers got that Bobo one in 2020. It doesn't count. Like, Dodgers haven't won since 88. You feel for their fans, the whole thing, even though they're the worst fans. And also, it's more showy. I just, like, I can't do it.
Well,
also, if either one of these is going to, and I don't think this really works that way, but if either one of these is going to kick the Phillies in the ass, it's the Dodgers. It's a team you've kind of been putting yourself up against and been measuring yourself against these last few years. And, oh, look at the Dodgers. If they win one, then maybe a little kick.
Do the Phillies have a better chance at Soto if the Yankees win or lose?
It's a phenomenal question.
Because I feel like if they lose, it makes them want him that much more.
I know, but if they win, then he's a World Series champ. I think it's actually lose, because I think the Yankees would be all right winning and letting him go.
Exactly. So I think...
Did you see Hal Steinbrenner, by the way?
Oh, my God. He's calculating in his head. He's basically like, all right, how much? Or six?
He's going through. He's like, wait, what?
I think... If the Yankees win the World Series, I think they'd be more okay letting Juan Soto walk.
I actually agree with that. So Yankees. We got lots of time still.
No, but I really do think I think at one point Shohei's gonna close. I think Shohei's
You think he's gonna pitch? Oh, that'd be so great.
Oh my god. I can just envision
greatest moment ever. I can't wait. But
are you staying up for these games?
Yeah, it's World Series. Right. Well, Friday night, Saturday night start is like, sure. Thank you, baseball gods. Sure. Yes. Yeah, I think it's the World Series.
Not baseball gods. It's just Fox.
Sure. Thank you, Fox. That's fine. That's fine. I'll go.
I'll the baseball gods.
I'll go with the baseball gods.
Yep. How could you not be romantic about baseball? Yep. Yeah. The Friday, Saturday, 8 o'clock start for some.
Oh, wow. All right. Now, the subject to change. You don't have to like stick to this. This is not a take vault thing or whatever. But if you had to pick today on October 24th, where's Juan Soto playing next year?
Juan Soto will be a New York Yankee.
I think he's going to be a
New York Met.
Yeah. I think he's going to be in New York. One way or the other, like for sure. I think he's going to be a Met.
And I officially think, I'd be shocked if the Yankees lost the World Series.
Really? Oh, that's
I don't think the Dodgers are that good. That bullpen's atrocious.
The Yankees starting pitching is way better.
Way better. They got some guys in the bullpen.
But hold up. You said the Dodgers bullpen has been atrocious. They had like one of the great playoff runs of all time. Like, didn't they go like 11 straight innings without giving them a run or something? Like whatever it was.
I test. I don't buy it. I think Yankees in 5 or 6.
All right. I'll go Dodgers in 6.
All right.
Just cause.
But go Yankees.
Back at home.
So that they can let Juan Soto walk.
It's a good reason to root for me. If you're going to root for the Yankees, that's a good reason.
I'm just rooting for a good story.
I'm just rooting for baseball. Good series. Yeah.
I actually am. I don't care who wins. I really don't care.
It's one of those where if the Mets had been, I would have rooted very heavily against them. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. But I, to your point, like I'm rooting for the Dodgers definitively, but I won't be like devastated.
Here's what I want. I want the Stars to be great.
Yeah, I agree. I want baseball to be great. I want it to go 7. I want it to be that.
This is the hater in me. And this comes out every once in a while. The hater side of my.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Every once in a while.
No.
I need the Stanton thing to stop.
What a stud.
It's annoying.
What an all-time great playoff performer.
He's been essentially brutal for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And like he might hit his way into the Hall of Fame.
Dude, I have Yankees fans who like my buddy called it the worst move in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I love him. I'm like, you hated it. He's like, I don't care. He's like, it's amazing. This guy's the best. I love him.
It's gotta stop. It's gotta stop. Yeah. He Giancarlo Stanton is not a Hall of Famer.
It's Mike.
Mike Stanton.
He's always Mike to me.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
He will always be Mike to me.
I don't know what to tell you.
He really will. I still think of him as Mike Stanton. I think I called him on it in the past.
He's going to. He's has 435 career home runs.
Well, I think it's 429 he said last podcast.
Okay, well, whatever. By the way, it does bother me that postseason home runs don't count for the overall home run total. But
I like it separate.
But he's those home runs count too.
But not for
the overall?
Because that's not the way it works.
But why?
Because it's dumb. It's playoffs, and you should have your own stats for the playoffs.
I'm not counting for the overall. Like, if someone for some way hit 65 home runs in the regular season and they hit 74.
It's also because you're clocking the amount of games played, too. It's like everyone gets 162 in the regular season. Not everyone plays in the playoffs.
I understand that. But they're still overall home runs.
Yeah, but not
hit.
No.
Yes, they are. No. This is not Elliot.
They're playoffs. Like no, they're playoffs.
I know you're looking at me like at Elliot.
I would never. You honestly
he hasn't called you dumb yet.
Yeah, you have not. I don't think you've ever said anything that has annoyed me as much as like the least annoying thing that Elliot has said. Yeah. So,
I'm always surprised they don't count because I think they should count.
Okay, we can agree to disagree on that.
All right.
Yeah, Tucker's on my side. I can see
you?
What we're talking.
Which side are you on?
No, I'm on your side. I think it's weird in football.
I wouldn't have gone to him.
I think it's
football's
weird in football.
Football's the only one that combines them.
Then once the postseason's over, we pretend they don't exist again. Like in the playoffs, they're like, oh. Rush for 20 touchdowns in 20 games.
Yeah.
And as soon as the Super Bowl's over, it's like
it goes back to the other.
Yeah, those four games can count.
Yeah. I just think
Brad Lidge was 48 for 48, was he not? Or are you gonna say he's 41 for 41? And then he was 7 for 7.
That's the best one you've come up with.
Thanks.
Best one. That's good.
Thank you. I just combine them.
No.
Because they're extra games, but
it's unfair to other players, like home run champ. Oh, so you're gonna be the home run champ as a guy who played in the freaking playoffs.
Home run champ. It's overall.
How do you count them or not? You either count or don't. This guy hit 63 home runs this year, or he hit 57 home runs this year. Like, but you know, right?
I'm not saying
it should count to the overall total, but not the season total. That's crazy. One or the other. How do you add it together? At the end, how do you go through and add it?
But it's overall home runs. It's overall. Mm. It's not. It's not season. Mm-mm. I'm not counting for the season, but for overall home runs.
I like when you do that. Mm-mm.
But then the other guys that play. That, I just think they should all count. Mm-mm. Would Bonds have 800? No, he wouldn't even be. He wouldn't have
800. No, yeah, he wasn't that great in the playoffs, except though too.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. By the way, you know how many times the Yankees and Dodgers have played in that World Series?
Seven.
This is going to be the 12th time.
Really? Well, I mean, they haven't played
by far the most.
Well, again, they haven't played since 81. Yeah. But
no, I know. I'm just saying they've played 12. This will be the 12th.
Now
time
that's counting Brooklyn too, right? Obviously.
Obviously. Yes. Of course.
Thank you. Hey, baseball podcast.
Like, guess what the second most like common matchup is?
Yankees Cardinals.
Close. That is the third most common match.
Damn.
Think Dodgers and something in particular with the Dodgers that you just thought about before.
Giants? Dodgers Giants?
Yeah, Tucker
really?
Beat you to nice. It. Yeah.
Well.
Seven times and then Yankees Cardinals five times.
I definitely didn't hear Tucker saying it.
I whispered it.
I know, I did. I could hear.
You do. That was impressive. I have that ear. That's great. I could see well. All right.
Yeah, I can't see.
See, there we go.
You know? I got permanent contact lenses.
So. Yeah, I have amazing vision. I can't hear anything, which is great for my job. You got anything else?
No.
All right.
That was a full almost hour.
I literally never no idea. I know. I knew that I would say we had nothing to talk about, and then it's time out of an hour. Yep. So that's what we do.
Only the dumb thing.
The best thing.
Yeah.
All right. We'll
perfect offseason next week.
Next week. Perfect offseason. Next Thursday, probably, I think we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, what day's Halloween? Real quick.
Thursday.
Okay, so next Wednesday, maybe.
Sure.
We'll figure it out. Okay, so next, we'll figure it out. Halloween might be a little tough. We'll figure it out. I gotta take Zoe out to the burbs to go trick-or-treating.
Oh, you're coming to Westchester?
Going to Doylestown.
All right.
See my mom.
One of these days.
My mom lives in. There are other burbs. I love how I like the burbs. It's like, Westchester? You're going to Westchester?
It's about the westernmost.
I know. It's like a burb. Like a
that you
burb.
Count yeah. for Philadelphia
yeah,
area.
Yeah, not quite the burb.
And then in early November, we're having a big time guest.
Special guest.
Finally.
Yes. Long time coming on this guest. It's going to be awesome. All right. Until then, he's first himself.